For our scripture reading this morning, let's go to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. It's right after 1 Kings, obviously, and right before 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's a very large book there in your Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 15. I hear pages turning. That means you're finding your place in your Bible. That's good. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read a lot of Old Testament scripture here, starting at verse number 15. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple at Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also, when I bow down in the image of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from his chariot to meet him. "Is everything all right?" he asked. "Everything is all right," Gehazi answered. "My master sent me to say, 2 young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing." "By all means, take 2 talents," said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. He gave them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away, and they left. Then he went in and stood before his master Elisha. "Where have you been, Gehazi?" Elisha asked. "Your servant didn't go anywhere," Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes, olive groves, vineyards, flocks, herds, or men servants or maid servants? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever." Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and he was leprous, as white as snow. Let's pray. Father, I just really love these stories from the Old Testament. We can read the things that these people did, the successes and the failures, and we can learn from them. Father, there are lessons that we need to learn and take away from this scripture here today. Let those truths just be put real deep and set in our hearts and in our minds today, that maybe the foolish acts of Gehazi will not be things that we do also. So teach us these things, Lord, and let us learn from them. We ask in the name of Jesus, amen. And you may be seated. we're in week number 5 in this sermon series on Old Testament lessons, where each week I'm going to be reading a different Old Testament story about interesting people who are in the midst of pretty interesting events. Today's message is titled The Greed of Gehazi. Our last time together, which was 2 weeks ago, I spoke about a man named Naaman and an Israelite prophet named Elisha. And that story was from 2 Kings chapter 5, the same chapter we just read, verses 1 through 16. To quickly recap that story, Naaman was a Gentile army commander from Aram, and he had leprosy. He hears about a prophet in Israel who can cure him of this dreaded disease. So Naaman goes to Israel, and he does get the cure that he went to Israel to find. But as I said 2 weeks ago, it didn't happen the way he expected it to happen. He expected Elisha, the prophet, to perform some big song and dance with this God from Israel. Instead, Naaman was instructed to go down to the Jordan and take 7 dips in a dirty river. Even though the process of being cured was not what Naaman expected, Naaman was still grateful that he received a miraculous cure from his leprosy. And that's where our story picks up today. Naaman had about a 2-week journey ahead of him to get back to Aram, which is called Syria. You might remember, I believe it's Luke chapter 4, Jesus tells a story about Naaman the Syrian. Well, why was he a Syrian then and an Aramean back then? Because over the course of the years, the name of the country changed names. It used to be Aram, and then it changed to Syria. Verse 17 tells us in their scripture that we read this morning that he takes along with him 2 donkeys loaded down with soil from Israel. So what's all this about? Why does he do this? Well, just to give a brief explanation, in those days, it was thought that a deity of whatever sort could only be worshipped on the soil that was part of the nation to which that deity was bound. So now that Naaman is now a believer in the God of Israel, he wanted to take some Israelite soil back with him in order to have a place back in Damascus where he could worship this new God of his. And since that was the tradition, we know that Elisha gave him his blessing, and that was okay. If you remember, though, Naaman went down to Israel loaded down with about 900 pounds of gold and silver to buy a miracle cure. That's about 750 pounds of silver and about 150 pounds of gold, which today has a total worth of about $2.9 million. We know that Naaman was certainly willing to pay a handsome fee for a miracle cure. And again, that's not even counting what the 10 sets of clothing may have cost. We read in verse number 16 that Elisha, the prophet, he didn't accept any payment for the cure. Why? Because, here's a very simple answer. Because God's true miracles are always what? Free. They're free. So Naaman and his entourage head back to his own country with all the gold and all the silver and all the clothing that they came down with, and they even went back with a little bit of dirt from Israel. Next in the story, we're introduced to an interesting man. His name is Gehazi. Gehazi is a servant of Elisha. Gehazi is an Israelite. He believes in the God of Israel. We find out that this man, Gehazi, in 3 short verses, verses 20, 21, and 22, break at least 3 of the 10 commandments. So let's look and see where the greed of Gehazi leads him. And we're going to get into our fill in the blanks here in our bulletin here in a second. Verse number 20 begins this adventure of Gehazi. He's upset. Why is he upset? Because his master, Elisha, did not accept any payment whatsoever from Naaman for this miracle cure. Gehazi begins to plot. He can't go all the way back to Aram with all that gold and silver and clothing now, can he? So the point to ponder, that we need to ponder, is this. If you were Gehazi, put yourself in his shoes, would you feel like Naaman should pay something for his miracle cure? And I'll just let you ponder that. And let's go through the rest of the message here this morning. Our fill in the blank number one. What does Gehazi do? One word. Gehazi covets. Covets. He covets. C-O-V-E-T-S. Gehazi covets. We talked about coveting last year, back in October, when we were going through the Ten Commandments. And we know that thou shalt not covet is the Tenth Commandment. To covet. What is to covet? To covet. To eagerly desire something that someone else has. Something that someone else has. Gehazi wanted what Naaman had. And what did Naaman have? Oh, he had a whole bunch of silver, a whole bunch of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. And he wanted maybe not all of it, but he wanted some of it. So Gehazi was coveting. We said this last year. Coveting is not an outward act. It's an inward act. It is solely an inward act from the mind and in the heart. That's where the corruption lies. The corruption of coveting lies in the mind and in the heart. And the sin of coveting has a very, very dangerous potential for leading a person into many more sins, as we're about to find out. And some of these other sins that coveting can lead a person into can be very dangerous, very costly, and sometimes very deadly. If you remember, back in October, I told you a story about two couples. And the man from this couple liked the woman from this couple. And what did he do? He coveted this woman so much that he killed her husband to get what he wanted. Coveting can very easily lead to other sins that can be deadly. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, a very familiar verse, tells us this: the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick and wicked. Who can understand it? Well, Gehazi's coveting must stop at the heart if he wants to avoid any other dangerous situations. But his coveting doesn't stop in his heart, and it doesn't stop in his mind. So, what happens when a person has an eager desire to have something that belongs to someone else, and they cannot restrain that desire? Answer. When the heart starts coveting and it is not restrained, it will stop at nothing to get what it wants. Well, obviously, Gehazi and Elisha, they differ on what they think a miracle should cost. Gehazi believes that a miracle must come with some kind of price. A price he coveted and a price he wanted to collect, even though his master may not have. He was not going to allow this man Naaman to go away without paying something for this miracle cure. Gehazi's heart of coveting had not been restrained. So where does it lead him? We know he committed one sin. He was coveting. Number two, fill in the blank number two. Gehazi takes the Lord's name in vain. Well, Mike, where do you see that? Where does he take the Lord's name in vain? Well, in verse number 20, he says this: as the Lord lives. As the Lord lives. What is he doing? He is making an oath. Vows and oaths made in the name of the Lord are all part of the third commandment, that you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. So Gehazi is not only coveting, he is coveting with an oath made in the name of the Lord. Oh, Gehazi, this is not good. And the third commandment, if we were to look at that back in Exodus, says that the Lord will not leave unpunished anyone who takes his name in vain. Poor Gehazi, he's sliding down that slippery slope of sin, and it's all being initiated because he wants to covet. He wants something that someone else has. But his sin problem doesn't even stop there. Gehazi now breaks another commandment to satisfy his covetous desires. Fill in the blank number 3. Gehazi gives false testimony. In other words, Gehazi lies. He lies. In verse number 22, he says this to Naaman. Oh, my master has sent me, saying, behold, just now 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of clothes. Well, we know this. That is not a true statement. Elisha never said that. But the point I want to make here is this, that the sin of coveting, where it can take a person. Gehazi is using the price of a miracle to justify his covetousness. Did I say that right? His coveting over Naaman's possessions, and his sin problem gets worse. Coveting leads to the sin of him taking the Lord's name in vain, and now coveting is leading to the sin of him lying. And many times, have you ever noticed this? Maybe you've seen it on, I'm sure you've seen it on TV, where if a person tells a lie, they have to cover it up by doing what? Telling another lie. You have to tell another lie. We know Gehazi told a lie to Naaman, because that's not what Elisha said. And when you get to verse number 25, Elisha asks Gehazi, where have you been? And Gehazi responds with another lie. Your servant went nowhere. Oh, yes, you did, you liar, liar, pants on fire. You were out there. You know where you have been. But sometimes lying has to be covered up with another lie. And it's all initiated because he's coveting something that someone else has. Elisha, who is a true prophet of God, knows the actions of Gehazi. Gehazi coveted, he lied, he took the Lord's name in vain, and Elisha calls him on the carpet over all this. And sometimes, there are immediate consequences for such actions. And Gehazi experiences one of those times of immediate consequences. The leprosy of Naaman was immediately cast upon Gehazi. Gehazi, the greed of Gehazi. Gehazi coveted. He justified that by insisting that there must be a price for miracles. You know where I'm going to go with this, don't you? Do we see this today? Let's talk about coveting and buying miracles today. Let's get our bulletin. If you have a bulletin, get it out. Let's look at that scripture verse that is written on your front cover. Because there's something that I want you to do. I don't know if you have a pen or pencil with you. But I'm going to read this. You can just kind of follow along with me. This is from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And these verses tell us about false prophets that are going to show up in the church. And Peter says this, many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the ways of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. A couple words that if you have a pen or pencil, that I'd like for you to underline. The first word is sensuality. It says this, many in their sensuality. What does that mean? That sensuality is the definition is this, to gratify the senses. I must satisfy my senses. I must satisfy myself. Forget about satisfying God. I want to satisfy me. So in their sensuality, they will follow their sensuality. The first word to underline. The second word to underline is this, obvious. And in their greed, underline that word, greed. The question, the obvious question, was Gehazi greedy? Of course he was. He wanted something that Naaman had, and he better get it before Naaman goes back to Aram. The third words to underline are this, false words. In their greed, they will exploit you with what? With false words. False words. Did Gehazi express some false words? Of course he did. We know that he lied twice to Elisha. Well, once to Elisha, once to Naaman. And then the fourth and final word I want you to underline is the word, and their destruction is not asleep. The fourth word, destruction. Was Gehazi destroyed? Well, he wasn't killed. He wasn't murdered. Nothing like that. But yes, he kind of was destroyed, wasn't he? In what? In the form of what? Leprosy. He became a leper because of what he did. So these words from 2 Peter seem to really apply to our friend Gehazi. But I will say this. Not much has changed in the past 2,000 years since Peter, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words that we read on the front of our bulletin. And it makes me wonder why there are some people who are in churches, quote-unquote churches, who cannot see this today. This congregation knows where I stand with false prophets and TV evangelist charlatans. You've heard me say it over and over again. You're going to hear it again. They want you and me to send them your money so you can buy a what? A miracle. So you can buy a miracle. They claim, here's what they will say, they claim it is your faith in sending that money that will claim that miracle for you. Or you'll receive that unexpected check in the mail that you've been waiting for. My friends, they are nothing more than, you might want to write this down, those people are pimps in the pulpit. Okay? These people are pimps in the pulpit. They get poor. Excuse me. You get poor. I get poor. And they get what? They get richer. They get richer. And you are still not cured. Well, what happened to that $100 that I sent in? What happened? Miracles are not bought. That miracle spring water sold by Peter Popoff will not buy you a miracle. And that miracle prayer cloth that More Than Life Prayer Ministries says that it may be free, but it simply costs you $3.50 for shipping and handling. For you to receive that miracle today, that miracle prayer cloth. But they will tell you this, if none of this works, if the miracle spring water didn't work, and if the prayer cloth didn't work, it's not the miracle spring water that failed, and it's not the prayer cloth that failed. It is your what that failed? It is your faith that failed. It is your faith that failed. Shame on you for your lack of faith, they will tell you, as they get richer and you get poorer. Ask Naaman the Syrian, ask Naaman the Aramean, how much his miracle cost him. How much did Naaman's miracle cost him, folks? Nothing. 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 Ask Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. What happens when you attempt to purchase the miraculous? My friends, do not fall for the deceptive actions brought upon by deceptive people. We need to be discerning. These charlatans that we see on these networks today and in churches today, they are no different. They are no different than Gehazi. 2 Peter says that they will follow their sensuality. These charlatans take their sensuality, their desire to satisfy themselves, right into the pulpit, and then they say that they do these things in the name of who? Name of God. Do them in the name of God. 2 Peter says this, in their greed, that's the second word we underline, in their greed, these charlatans are greedy too. They covet, and they eagerly desire what you have. They want your money. 2 Peter chapter 2 says this, they exploit you with false words. And these charlatans are using false words too, my friends. They know that that miracle spring water doesn't have any kind of miraculous power. They know that that prayer cloth doesn't have any kind of healing power. They are liars. They will say whatever they need to say that you, so you will send your money to them. I will repeat it again. They are pimps in the pulpit is all that they are. And 2 Peter chapter 2 says this, our final word. Their destruction is not asleep. I assure you, according to the word of God, these charlatans will pay the price. They say they do all this in the name of the Lord. Shame on them. Commandment number 3 tells us that the Lord will not leave unpunished anyone who takes his name in vain. And I am convinced that there is a hotter place in hell for such people if they fail to repent from their evil ways. But we can always repent, can't we? No matter what our sin may have been, we can always repent. And I pray that these people will repent from the things that they are doing. So I have to ask, don't they read this book? Don't they understand this book? The answer to that is no, they don't, because it never crosses their mind. Why? Because these people are not men and women of God. They are messengers of Satan disguised as angels of what? Angels of light. They are greedy, just like Gehazi. The greed of Gehazi, his slippery slope of sin, led him into coveting, led him into taking the Lord's name in vain, led him into false testimony and lying. And somewhere in there we can find idolatry, because certainly he wasn't after the things of God. He was after the things for Gehazi. And his slippery slope of sin led him right into a life of leprosy. So my friends, let's be careful what we covet. Let's pray.